pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So this is the first meeting of 2017, January 11th, 1 p.m. And let's get to... Okay. So according, so on the approval of the agenda, are there any changes to the agenda?
Yes. We have a resolution to add to the consent agenda for surplusing.
Okay. But we'll get to that when we get there.
I thought you were going to have an exec session.
You're going to have an exec session?
Exactly.
Any decisions?
No decisions, just for potential litigation and for labor rights.
How long?
10.
10 minutes? Sounds good to me.
We never go with 10 to 11.
Let's go 10, see if we can do it. All right, motion to approve the agenda?
I move. Go ahead.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, on the third section, the Washington State Auditor's Exit Conference. Welcome.
Thank you.
You have the floor.
All right, so my name's Amy Strelka. I was the audit lead this year, and she's our audit manager. So I gave you each a packet that has several different pieces of paper put together, and the top one is this exit conference document, just one page, two sides. So if you look at that, first of all, I just want to say thank you very much for having us here. I appreciate that you do your exit and an open public meeting so that everyone can be a part of it, because it shows that you're interested in the results of the audit, and we really have a goal to work together with the governments and help you to do your job better and us to learn new things too. So thank you very much for your participation. First thing I want to mention is just the audit highlights this year. We came in and staff was really accommodating to us. Everything we asked for, we got really quickly. The files were really organized and easy to follow, and that helped make our job a lot easier. And actually, when we get to the budget piece of the audit, you'll see it allowed us to come in about $2,000 under our originally budgeted price, so that's also great as well. And then obviously there have been a lot of changes since the last audit that we were here for. There's been a lot of turnover in the executive level of management, and just from our conversations throughout the audit, it was very evident that the new executive management is really dedicated to improving processes and making sure that you're in compliance with all the laws and regulations, and just is actively looking to see where improvements can be made, and so really appreciate that. So this year we performed two different audits for the port.
Can you like stand sideways, because the audience can't really hear. Is that
okay.
All right?
Sorry.
Is that perfect?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine.
All right.
Yeah, so we performed two different audits this year. One was the accountability audit, and that's look at safeguarding of public resources. We make sure you're complying with state laws, your own policies. So for that one, the draft report is the second report in your packet. It says accountability audit report on the front. And if you turn to page 4, I've got a couple sections here highlighted. The top part is the summary of the results of the audit, which says in the areas we audited, the port complied with the applicable requirements and provided adequate safeguarding of public resources. They also complied with state laws and regulations and its own policies and procedures in the areas we examined. So that's a clean audit report. We didn't have any elevated levels of reporting that would need to be included in our report. And then down at the bottom, it details the different areas that we looked at this year. So we looked at financial reporting, cash receipting, self-insurance, which is the port self-insures for unemployment, so we looked at making sure you have enough set aside to cover claims as they come due, open public meeting minutes, payroll, procurement and bid law compliance, and we looked at that as an audit area, and we also had a citizen hotline submitted regarding that we looked at as well. So the port gave the port a copy of the letter that we're sending out to the citizen today, and overall, we found that you complied with everything you needed to comply with, and we just have one little recommendation out of that. And then financial condition, we look at whether you're managing your the port's resources in a way that's going to allow you to continue operations going forward, and that looked good too. So, any questions about Cambodia? So the other piece of the audit was the financial statement audit. So the other report that you have in there is a financial statement report, and it actually contains two different reports. The first report, if you go to page 4, is our report on internal control and compliance. And that first paragraph that's highlighted basically says that when we're planning our audit, we gain an understanding of the port's internal control over financial reporting, but we don't actually express an opinion on it. And then on the next page, it says, we looked at the internal control, we don't express an opinion, but that said, while we were gaining our understanding, we didn't note anything that we would need to report. Because even though we don't express an opinion, if during our planning, if while we're looking at the controls, we identify anything that would indicate that there's a material weakness or significant deficiency in controls, we're required by auditing standards to report that as a finding. So the report says, we didn't find anything like that. We are not reporting anything like that. But that said, we didn't actually do a detailed audit of it, if that makes sense. And then the last part that's highlighted just says, the results of our tests disclose no instances of noncompliance or other matters that are required to be reported under government auditing standards. And that's like legal compliance or that type of thing that would have to be reported as part of your report. So that's the control report. And then if you turn to page 8, this is our actual financial statement audit report. And our opinion says the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the respective financial position of the Port of Port Townsend for 2015 and 2014. So that's a clean audit report. It means that the financial statements are materially correct and presented in accordance with it. So, and I should point out, if you go back to the little one-page piece of paper there and flip to the second page, we are required to communicate to you if there are any identified misstatements that aren't corrected in the final financial statements. And so there were two, one for 14 and one for 15, that are listed here. Neither is a high dollar amount. The higher one is $35,000, which for the port's financials is a really small number. But basically, these were grant revenues that were for expenditures that occurred in 2014 and occurred in 2015, but didn't get billed to the grantors until the end of 2016 after the reports had already been submitted. So they didn't get reported as revenues, but under accrual basis, they should have gone back as revenues. So anyway, the port didn't correct because it's a whole lot of work to go back, and every number you change hits a whole bunch of different numbers. And so we say, we understand why you didn't correct it, that's fine, we're going to put it into this 2016 statement and it'll be fine. So, questions about financial statements? Anyone? Pretty clean and easy. So then the next section, recommendations not included in our audit reports. We had a few exit items, we discussed those in detail with port management. Exit items are the lowest level of reporting. They are not to the level that would need to be communicated to the board or to the public, but basically they're house cleaning items and just, you know, recommendations for improvements. So we have a few of those. And then aside from that, your report will hit the button today. What's today? So it should get published tomorrow or maybe Monday. Yeah, so probably Monday's a holiday, so probably Tuesday next week will be when it goes out and it'll be available to the public. And then the audit cost, like I said at the beginning, we estimated the cost of the audit to be $24,500, and actual audit cost will be approximately $22,500. So that was because it was so easy to follow the information, so that's great. And then we'll be sending out an audit survey. And I can't remember last year if we sent it out to commissioners or not, but we've changed it. Now it goes out to a member of management and a member of the commission. So Steve, it'll go out to you because you're the one I had the most interaction. Or I'm sorry, Pete.
Pete, sorry.
Last year I talked to you a lot, but this year I talked to Pete.
Okay.
So anyway, Pete, it will go to you this year. So, and Abigail will get the other one. So, and the next audit is going to be fall of 2018, and Abigail had told me this year with Moody's, you really need your audit reports by the end of the year, hopefully to get, to maintain compliance with them. So we'll try and move up the audit a little bit, probably do it in October. To start, so that to make sure you get your report by the end of December. And it'll be accountability and financial statements, but if you happen to have grant expenditures of more than $750,000 in a year, then we need to do a federal compliance audit as well, and Abigail's very aware of that. So just let our office know if we need to schedule that.
We hope.
And yeah, it's always a good thing, you know, you have to have an extra audit, but you've got all this money, so it's fantastic. So. Anything?
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, really, I did your audit a couple years ago, and that was a fairly clean audit as well, but it's really a pleasure to come and do this audit. And like I said, we can already see just from the conversations and what we looked at, there have been some improvements, and just there's that active role that management's taking in assessing the risks and figuring out what can we do, how can we improve this to make it so that what could, like, the dangerous things that could happen don't happen, instead of, you know, being reactionary and fixing it after it's been a problem. So anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you in a couple of years.
You know, just an acknowledgement for Larry Crockett and Jim Varnick. It's nice that they were running the wheel and steering the ship as they were, because they were the ones that gave us a
Yeah, order. Sorry, I didn't, wasn't meaning to be.
No, not at all. I just wanted to make that correct. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on, part four, election of officers. Sam, do you just want to present the slate and then we'll just make a motion on that? I think that's the quickest way to get through that.
Absolutely. President Hanke has offered that he would serve, be willing to serve for another year. So I think having him as president. Commissioner Kleinfelder would like to serve as vice president, and then that would make you.
That would be fine.
Okay. And it's really just kind of name away. So, anybody want to make a motion on that?
I move that we approve board of the officers like that.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Awesome.
Moving on to consent agenda. So we're going to approve the consent agenda, but we're going to make a slight change to it with this resolution 65617. You want to say anything about this?
Well, this is a weather reporting system. It's the one that got
right
no longer, okay. right, no longer is used once we have the AWASM possession. But so it's been in maintenance storage. And we happened to have a local municipal airport ask if they could have it. And we're not doing anything with it because we have the AWAS, and they can't get federal funds until 2020, 2021. And so theirs is broken.
It's for parts.
So yeah. They asked if they could have it, and we're not doing anything anyway, so we're going to surplus it. Should have been surplused after the AWAS was put.
So I move that we do the consent agenda with the resolution.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda. All right. So at this point, we are going to recess to a meeting. I guess I gaveled us out.
Yep.
And we are now going to enter into our Industrial Development Corporation meeting for the Port of Port Townsend, of which Steve Tucker is the president. So I will hand off to you.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, you get the gavel.
Okay. Okay, so this is the I'll order the meeting of the Industrial Development Corporation of the Port of Port Townsend, and basically the The first order of business on the agenda is the election of officers. And I think that last time we did this, we just decided to keep it the way it was in the past, and that's how I ended up being here. But I suggest that we just have it be the same as our commission. Just have it follow the commission body. Okay?
Yeah, whatever. Yep.
So I move that we have the election of officers be the same as our commission.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor then? Aye.
Aye.
New business? I don't think there is any. Is there any new business?
Wish there was.
Yeah.
There's been no activity during the year. We have interest in the amount of $1.48. So we now have $5,011 in those accounts. But there's been no loan activity.
So I guess that since we're actually in a meeting of this and we only do this once a year, the reason, if I'm not mistaken, that there's been no activity is because interest rates are so low, and that makes it not really that much advantage to utilize these things. But I think there's a horizon where there's going to be interest rates have already risen a little bit, that it could potentially be some. So I guess my question is, what do we want to do with this? We want to actually, I mean, I think most of the people that would utilize this are aware that we have it, but do we want to promote it?
Do we want to what?
Promote it.
We've got a lot of promoting to do on other fronts. But, when we discussed this in depth the first year, Pete, we were, you and I were here, and we had a lot of concern about the cost of if somebody did express interest and staff time and so on. Talking about passing some of those costs on to whoever was interested, except for whoever's going to be the first one, kind of thing. That's what kind of bugged me a little bit, just in the event that things do change, interest rates make this appealing to somebody that really wants to, step up to the plate and invest here locally. I hope that we can be considerate of that and not necessarily be too quick to charge somebody if we had two people show up, say, within a month's time, the first one gets the gratis and the second one doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's just been a concern of mine. I just wanted to express that.
It is certainly a tool, and it is certainly one that I don't think a lot of people understand how to use it. The last time it was used was at the paper mill.
Really?
Yeah, $8 million was passed through to them to do a upgrade on the boiler system.
So it's definitely out there to do. I mean, I think for what we did this morning in the workshop, I would certainly go with Brad that we should just hang tight.
Yeah, for this year, I think we've got our plate ready, but at least bring it up for a topic.
Sure.
So, any other business?
Can I say something? You forgot to approve minutes, item 3.
Oh, yes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Yes.
I'll second.
You.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Next meeting, call is needed, and so I'm adjourning this meeting.
Back to you. So we are on to second reading. Mission, meaning, procedures, resolution, and policy.
And it was put under second reading because it was discussed at the last meeting, but there have been changes made to it since that, so it'll go back again for another reading in the next meeting.
No, okay. Does everybody get that out there? Even though this is in second reading, we're going to do it again. So, there's still more time to talk about this. Do you want to tee it up?
Sure. You might note that I have then for your consideration, a slight change to the procedures to include a eliminating the automatic two readings, require two readings of any subject, instead adding a area of regular business so that the matter of course that we'd be able to put things on that are de rigueur items such as contract approvals, leases and things, and be able to move those through at a just so that we're not getting bogged down into waiting to schedule an additional commission meeting. And Howard did add that legislative items such as budget consideration, any type of changes to comprehensive plans, strategic plans, those would have two meetings minimum. And so you have ample time for both your consideration and for public to be engaged with that. Also then had if that at any time any commissioner thought that there was an item that was contained on the regular business that they could ask to have that move into a second consideration and be able to do that with just one commissioner so that you not need a separate to do that if you vote out something. Something was moved forward too quickly that needed additional time to consider. But I think that, again, I'm going to borrow Mr. England's phrase here of being able to move at the speed of business. It just helps us to keep paperwork flowing so we have an ambitious schedule and keep things moving.
And one other minor item is in Section 2, 2C, in order to put it in the meeting policy, on November 22nd, if that's before Thanksgiving, if you wanted it at 1 o'clock or 5:30 p.m. That's normally an evening meeting, and it's 2 days before Thanksgiving. This is on a Tuesday.
Well, it's normally an evening meeting, then why won't we keep it an evening meeting then?
I'm good with that. Fine with me too. Any other discussion on this? You good with this?
I'm good with it.
Yep.
Okay. Any comment from the audience?
That All was right. a motion. Did you make a motion?
No.
Is there a motion?
Go ahead. I'll move that we approve that resolution.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Going to first reading, delegation of authority. Yeah. Take it all away. Take it all away.
I do not have this marked up in your
packet,
but because this agenda will operate under the existing rules, so this will require a second reading for this. So I would like to request that the amounts that you can delegate for authority for the executive director to be able to issue contracts, construction contracts. It is currently at $25,000. Consulting. So this is Section 4, A, C, and D. And so for construction activities, the current limit is $25,000. Consulting or professional services is at $10,000, and architectural engineering is at $15,000. And I would like to request that the commission approve that limit being increased to $50,000. So that again, we, in the order to keep business moving ahead efficiently, that I would have the authority to sign contracts and or sign these type of agreements under that.
Do you have any, like Bob Chesney, Fort Angeles, what are those guys, you know, by chance?
I did not check that.
Okay.
So you're suggesting what we now have at 25 to go to 50.
Mm-hmm.
And what we now have at
10 to go to 50.
And what we now have at 15 to go to 50. In other words, 50 exactly. for each
yeah.
individual.
Mm-hmm. And those are amounts, particularly for the consulting and professional services, align with RCWs for the amounts that you don't need to go to a competitive bid or procurement process on, so kind of aligns with that RCW in some ways. More importantly, is just in order to move the amount of work that we have on our work plan this year, which indicated that I do intend on using outside resources, that we can just keep those moving as we select firms to work with us, that we move those things. I don't anticipate there'll be a lot that exceeds that 50,000 mark. A lot of them are going to be underneath there. I intend to use firms for very specific targeted things.
comment from the audience?
I guess the other one is the architectural engineering and technical. It seems like a fairly excessive or like big changes. It's designed for small projects, but like $50,000 is a big chunk of money for small project.
I would note that, again, as we build our capital program, that with the exception of an emergency presenting itself, which is good, we would need to do something, that these would be mostly being used for things that are identified on our capital program. So I don't anticipate that there would be an unidentified project that we had that I wanted to move forward with and you know, you didn't know anything about it. That's the last thing I want to do is I want to make sure that you have approved the project through the capital process, but then as we actually move forward to implementation, that I can be expeditious about that.
Well, I have two things. One is I agree with the assumption that it'll definitely give you the ability to move things forward mm-hmm. quicker. Amy, I expect when Amy left. Amy's certainly there kind of minding the store. Or Abigail, sorry. Amy did leave. Oops.
She didn't.
Yeah. And, I mean, if there was issues that came up in the course of this next year, we can certainly change this. In fact, we can change it, I think, at any time we want to. Is that correct, or is it just at the annual business meeting in January?
I think by practice it's been at the beginning of the year, but
I've never heard anything where you can't change
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
right. I don't see why you couldn't.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that would be just my 2 minutes.
Yeah. Just think about it. We don't have to.
Yeah, well, that's right. We don't have to sign it today. Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
And so you're planning.
I just talked about you.
Leaving everything else the same.
Yes.
With the exception mm-hmm. of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Potential immediate action items. WPPA trust appointment. So I think I have been the one delegated for that, and I have failed miserably. In fact, I think you have brought up saved my tail twice on that year. So you want that? You want to just take it formally or not? Or
I might as well. I mean, I end up going to the meetings and just right. need to stay a little longer.
Okay.
And we need
Are you
alternate.
Okay with that?
Yeah.
We need an alternate as well.
I'll take it. I'll be the alternate. All right. Okay, I'll be the alternate. Maybe I can save your tail twice. Okay. And so we need to open this up with a motion. I make a motion that we move to vote on an immediate action item.
So is there a reason this needs to be done immediately?
It's for the directory, WPPA directory, and it needs to, they need to have it by around the 20-something of January.
Get a second.
No, that's okay. I mean, it's not like it's a big deal. I go ahead and I say we
second that.
Move
yeah.
to the second. Yeah.
Vote. All those in favor?
Yeah.
Aye. Okay, so then we need a motion on the slate that you're the prime guy and I'm the alternate.
Yeah.
Steve Tucker's the prime. Pete Hankey's the alternate. And is there a motion on that?
I make a motion that just what you said.
Okay.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to other business, Washington Public Ports Association, 2017 Port Day. Is that you, Sam?
Yes, so the Washington Public Ports Association sponsors a day we have for port directors and a commissioner, should they choose, to visit the legislature. They have a lunch and a time for ports to get together, talk about the legislative agenda, and then we've also set up time to meet with our representatives, Senator Vandeweghe, Representative Fletcher, and Representative Chapman.
We haven't heard yet from Vandeweghe yet.
Okay.
He just gets more, so
we'll give him a little time. And they had to move their whole office. While we don't have any specific items for them this year for our representatives, I think it is good to go down and touch base with them, just talk about, I think it's good to start having the conversation with them that we have a lot of capital needs and that we are planning and positioning for growth, introduce, just stay in touch with them. And so I am planning on going, and Chairman or President Hankey, you will be out of town. And so I'd like to know if you would like to attend, Vice President, or if you're not available, if we're going to have Commissioner Tucker.
So. Well, I'd be happy to attend.
Okay, great. Awesome.
And they can't both go?
I think you got a quorum issue there.
Well, it says in here, any commissioners. I'm thinking that, when you go to WPPA conferences, there's a quorum, and yet it doesn't seem to violate any laws, and so I'm not really sure. I mean, I haven't really thought about going there, but I kind of, when I read about this, I thought, that's something I can do.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. I can certainly check on it. I think that, at a conference like that, because you have, a whole plethora of other attendees, and you have a program, the fact that we will, be talking specifically to our representative about what we're doing. But I'm happy to check on it to see if
it can. It provides more meat to walk in there with.
Two? Mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm.
And I would think, since it's port day, I'm suspected there's going to be a lot of down there. So.
How about,
Mr. Attorney, do you see any Open Public Meetings Act issues?
As long as it's put on our calendar, that.
Think about that.
Okay.
Take it under advisement.
Okay.
And then, we had an interesting conversation this morning about the breakwater, pointing out the breakwater, representatives and stuff. Mm-hmm. Are you going to have a package together, like a pitch package?
I don't see that we actually have an actual ask this year, and I think that particularly given what is on the Capitol Committee and other legislatives plate this year with the McCleary case and other things, I don't think that we would get much of a reception this year. However, I think that we can say, hey, here's an issue, and we put some materials together and just start familiarizing them with it, so that as we look towards next year and outdoors, that you go, oh yeah, I remember this.
Isn't it good to get a no, like to get it in the queue? Like, we asked for this in 16, and now we're, or we asked for this in 17, and now we're back in 18. Same issue. No. Yes. Any of my farmer.
Some grant programs are like that, absolutely. I don't know if for specific appropriations that makes that much of a difference. I think having consent or consensus from your other partners in the area. So if you have the city and county going, yes, we understand this is a really high priority for the port. We're all behind it. That goes on.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else on this? All right. So we're at 11B, 2017 committee list.
Exactly. I do have a couple slight changes on here that I would like to add, and they're mostly just additions. So on the first page for Jefferson Peninsula Regional Emergency Planning Committee, that should be me as the primary at the top.
So you're not, the XXX is really you, huh?
That's exactly, that should be me. And for the NMTA Boatyard Committee, the primary should be Terry Kyle with Greg England as the alternate. And for the Marina, with Tammy Ruby as the primary and Greg as the alternate.
Okay.
This is 2016. This is the 2016 list. She's making changes to it. And also, Sam, I believe you are the alternate for the MRC.
Yes, that is true.
So in other words, what we're doing is we're creating the 2017 list, because this is the thing that we're actually looking at is the 2016 committee assignments, which is just passed. Uh-huh. So Greg wasn't yet, because he wasn't here yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a red line.
Right. So we're actually making 2017 assignments now, right?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I should make a comment too on the Chamber of Commerce, Jefferson County, that doesn't have anyone there. That's not a monthly, weekly, it's a bi-weekly. It used to be that they used to have Monday conference every Monday lunches, and now they have them every other Monday.
Thank you. Yeah, and we frequently attend those depending on schedule and topic. On the second page, and on the Washington Airport Management Association. That should be me. And then any other changes that the commissioner, those are the ones that I just noted.
Well, we should flip the Board of Trustees.
Right, I'll make the changes.
One additional one on the first one, Sue, is the Pacific Coast Congress of Port Managers and Harbor Master Board. Left Greg on that.
So you've already got some assignments for some of these for this year. So are we assuming then that, like, the CEO Breakfast Group, you're still...
Yes.
I mean, the fact that that's still there, you're still doing it?
Yeah.
Is that on the second?
That's on the first page.
First page.
Very first one.
Top.
So we have no one then assigned to the Chamber of Commerce, is that correct?
Right, we just go as needed. We're fairly frequent there.
For the... emergency planning, Sam, did you want an alternate on that one?
Yeah,
sure. Great. So on the North Limic Development Council, were you going to start being the primary on that?
I'll plan attending particularly the first meeting, and then, you know, as schedule allows.
Because actually Larry was the primary, and I was the alternate, and I just started going when Larry left, so... I hadn't really considered that I was the primary on that yet.
I think it would make sense to keep you as the primary if you don't mind doing that, and then I'll attend as the alternate. And I do know when we spoke about the benefit of being able to go to that together, so I'd like to do that. I also understand a very full agenda this year, so I just want to give myself some wiggle room there to bail out when necessary.
This will be a funny question. Is the Higher Education Committee...
That hasn't... That stalled since patients passed. Nothing's happened.
Idle. And then how about the Chamber of Commerce North Hood Canal? Do we want to be attending that?
How about it?
I think that's your district, right?
It is. I actually will put my name in there. Because they tend to meet Quilosine, I think.
I'd be happy to attend that with you occasionally. Again, same caveat of got a lot of on our plate, but I think it's good to go down and touch base with people.
And you're just saying we're covering the chamber, our chamber, just with staff. Mm-hmm. So we'll just write mm-hmm. staff in there.
Yeah, and commissioners are welcome to attend.
No. Which one's this? I'm sorry.
The chamber, the local chamber.
So just looking over these things, are all these still pertinent or relevant? For example, is the Marine Trades Association still meeting, Brad?
That's undecided at this point. They didn't dissolve, put it that way. But they've got some new officers, and it's yet to be determined how often they're going to meet. So I'll be there, you know, if and when they do.
So how much time does that take? How many times have they met? You know.
Well, I couldn't tell you this last year. I mean, they had the annual meeting here about a month ago, and that was when they elected some officers. And it's yet to be determined how often they tend to be. Right. At last I heard, they were kind of talking. But that hasn't been confirmed.
And the PRTPO, does that thing happen?
That's still happening, yes.
Yeah. So does that happen monthly?
That
I mean, the reason I'm asking is because we always have these commission reports, you know, and
right.
I always give all the meetings to go to, and I don't think I've heard about Marine Trades thing.
I went to last year or something like that. There are, the thing I was going to mention to you, Larry used to do the TAC. There's actually two meetings, and Larry would do the TAC part of it. Mm-hmm. I would do the main part.
And they're generally every other month. Executive board meets every other month. TAC is every other month. So
I'll continue with the executive, and then you can do the TAC.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Yeah.
That's good. You can just leave it like that, yeah.
I see that I'm on as an alternate for the Puget Sound Partnership, which I didn't recall. I mean, and there wasn't really a lead, and I've never been contacted by them to know about their meetings.
I'll just blank that out, because there hasn't been anything for a couple of years.
They don't have meetings? Oh, okay.
Not that I've seen.
And I'm also an alternate for the Washington Voting Alliance, which I didn't know.
These were based on our past meeting or the meeting before.
Right, but I mean, like I say, I didn't know, I have never heard of a meeting to have attended.
Larry used to attend those regularly.
Uh-huh. Well, is that something that we should be attending?
Which one?
Washington Voting Alliance. I've never been there, so I don't know what it's about.
I think that's through an MTA, I think.
In other words, if I'm going to have my name as an alder, I don't want to be shirking a responsibility that I didn't realize I had.
I don't know about that. Well, it was approved at the... last year or the year before.
So I guess the question still, you know, is this something that we should be, because I've spent a huge amount of hours in meetings, and I not care to add any more to it, but if it's something that's important that we need to attend, I think we should assign something.
You know what the Voting Alliance Committee is? It's rec voting, and so it's yacht clubs, U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, rec voting. It's mainly focused on rec voting. Is that what led to Larry being on the rec committee?
RCO?
RCO.
No,
that's totally separate unto itself, really. I mean, it's, you know, let's put it this way. You could attend a meeting and look at the meeting minutes and kind of get an idea. It's a big rec voting organization, and as is NMTA. So, you know, you just get some of this local duplication.
Is it separate from an MTA?
It is. I say we scratch it off the list.
I can just wipe the meetings out of there, and if anybody decides they want to.
And on the WPPA committees, I can only be on one. I've actually been going to the environmental committee. Where is it? Yeah, there it is. So, in other words, me as being the alternate of the Marina committee, I think that you guys have been going to the Marina committees, haven't you? And mm-hmm. at the WPPA meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So we should probably take XX and Steve Tucker all down, put one of you guys in that one.
I really don't think you should even have names in those committees, because when the agenda comes out for the conferences, we generally meet and just divvy it up however well we can.
Well, no, the committees are actual committees. In other words, we all have committee meetings outside of the WPPA. I'm on an email chain with the Environmental Committee, and we have to talk about stuff, and so I assume that they have things like that for in a committee, and it's a committee that you join.
I know.
I mean, they have their meeting at the WPPA.
Because I've never got an email from aviation.
Well, I discovered by accident that having me be assigned to the Environmental Committee here at the port wasn't the same as having me be assigned to the Environmental Committee at WPPA. I wasn't getting emails and said, how come I had this committee meeting happen that I didn't know about? Well, we didn't know that you were it, so you got to actually tell WPPA you're the representative from the board to the committee.
Okay, so I'll put my name on the marina.
The marina, so you're new to the airport and the marina?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll send WPPA a notice on this.
You can just make me an alternate.
For the marina?
Yeah, well then you're going to have two committee meetings to attend at the conferences.
And usually they happen at the same time.
And no one on the legislative and no one on the EDC committee, WPPA? Leave those blank.
I'm pretty great on the legislative. Yeah, that'd be effective.
And
why don't you take the marina and I'll take legislative?
Okay. That's a report out. That's no problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they actually do work, you know. I mean, they actually do. I mean, they'll tell you what's it. Yeah, those are actually could be pretty effective.
I actually was at the legislative.
Legislative was a really good committee to be on, I think.
You should have someone so that basically you get all the information from them. And you get it on a timely basis as opposed to waiting. And that way you can have a place at the table.
If we could, should list me for both the EDC and the legislative committee, where I've made very clear to Eric Johnson and that I'm constraining participation in the board. Got things to take care of here at home.
And also Puget Sound Partnership. Or no. No, excuse me. Hood Canal Coordinating Council. Called twice a year. I haven't seen that for a while, but Steve, do you want to leave your name on there?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, it's interesting, but I'm not quite sure how relevant that one is, but
it's kind of like the MRC only on the Hood Canal, isn't it? Similar?
It's the salmon restoration. Mm-hmm. It is the lead in for salmon restoration. They do have a little bit of other intergovernmental things, but its primary focus is salmon restoration.
Yeah, they actually come and report to the MRC occasionally, mm-hmm. So I guess that could just be that report. When they come, I could share it with them.
Right, okay.
Here we go on the committee. Moving on. Staff comments.
Hey.
Can you notice that thing out there?
That's a big thing.
That's a big thing. So the boat haven breakwater, not the Port Hudson breakwater.
Did everybody get that in the paper?
Yeah, did you see that, Elizabeth?
Point Hudson. They called it the Point Hudson.
Port Hudson.
Boat Haven Breakwater.
Covered all their bases.
And then they went on an article to talk about how it was going to be a multi-year project. And it is not going to be a multi-year project. They should be done by the end of the week. And so they've been moving in and do have a construction inspector who is visiting daily, and I know that they went out last night to check in the low tide to make sure the rocks were getting keyed in properly. So should have be able to report out on that next council meeting, maybe able to, or commission meeting, be able to close that out because you are the body that accepts the work. So,
so have they found like, wow, that was a big hole, or you got us in here when you did?
That's pretty much the consensus.
Really?
Yeah, it had grown, and even more than We had known that had grown once and then had it grown again. So I think that we're really starting to see the acceleration. And so I think we're kind of in the nick of time.
Where'd you get the rock from?
Good question.
Totally unfair question.
But the thing is, I know they told me.
We've got the rock reports.
I was curious what quarry it came from. Yeah. And eyeballing it over there. Looks like basalt.
No.
It's not?
No. It was Spectus granite.
It's granite?
Granite.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's why it was $200,000.
That'll be Horseshoe Bay, Vancouver.
I don't know where it's quartered.
BC.
Yeah. We had a retreat, and I felt that it was very effective, and I want to give particularly a big shout out to the staff, including Sue, who, thank you, Sue, for making it all happen. I know that's always just a lot of extra work to move us all to a different location, so she did it with her normal grace and aplomb, and so thank you for that, and also thank you to the rest of the staff. I think that both the leadership team and as well as senior managers and then the staff who attended put effort into it. They came prepared, and thank you for commissioners to take that time out. So I think it was worthwhile. Of course, we had a lot of prep time going into that, and then we are continuing to proceed with our capital projects and looking for funding for that, and I actually have a call tomorrow with the Army Corps of Engineers, both their navigation section as well as their continuing authorization section. So I'll be talking with them about primarily about this breakwater. We'll talk about where they're sending me a map of what they kind of consider under their funding authority, and so I should have some things to report back.
Primarily about this breakwater?
Yes, the breakwater, even. Thank you.
The old breakwater, not the new one, right?
Actually, no. That was interesting. They said, the part that you're working on now, that's not ours. And I went, well, that's super interesting. And so they said, yeah, let me send you the map. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so I'll have some more clarification on that. And we're looking at not only what our short-term needs are, but just kind of our longer-term needs are for eventual repair and modification of things. So have some things to discuss in executive session for other things, but it's been cold, and I know that the maintenance staff has been shutting off water and turning water back on and making sure that people have access to the laundry room and have water in there. And then holiday times, thanks to staff for being available and keep the place going. So.
Good. Yeah. Craig?
Working with the Washington Park Fish and Wildlife to renegotiate that lease, meeting again with them tomorrow and do another walkthrough, and just trying to get out all the punch lists and get that resolved.
Is that going well? Like, in terms of, I know you can't talk a lot about it, but I mean,
it's actually going, I think it's going to be fine. I think one of the big issues, just make sure that we have some sort of a plan to mitigate some of the smell from the creosote and to reduce that. But I think all the rest of the punch list size is pretty straightforward. And just making sure, they basically, imply that they would like to potentially actually increase their leasehold. And they do want to stay. Because we just got to make sure that we step up a little bit too. So I think it's a super positive discussions.
Increase their leasehold, like from storage for boats or something, or just
they had a number of different things. They have to go through their permission in order to expand it or to add staff here. Mm-hmm. So there's they have a couple staff that would like to relocate to Fort Townsend, and so then they had some other operations they'd like to centralize here. So it's just a matter of putting it all together. But I think it's going to happen.
We've had them on the boats a couple times, just as passengers, and they really like the location. It sounds to the island just like
Yeah, we're putting together like a, so, you know, we were going to try to put together basically a maintenance plan that is just a scheduled maintenance. And then we have these automatic, it's more really property management goals where it's just automatic. And so they get a higher level of services, what they kind of feel like, and make sure that we, you know, we take care of like all our customers. So we should.
Because I was talking, I don't talk to Rich a little bit, but not much, but I talked to the biologist a bit. One of the things I keep hearing from him a lot, boy, it should be nice if we didn't have to go clear down to Point Whitney to get boats.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, you know, that's what, you know, basically every tenant, they have a mortgage component that's covered. They want everything rolled all into one. And it's, you know, it's a ways out, but we're trying to just knock out everything down as much as we can and then present them with some sort of a plan forward. And we are, and we will. We countered to the U.S. Coast Guard. We talked to them again about their lease and countered back to them. So we're waiting to hear back. Basically, just talk about the rationale behind, you know, what we're setting for rates and recovery. We're in negotiations with ACI continuing for their term lease. And again, they have a punch list as well. Same kind of thing. One of the big things that they have, which is an immediate need, was they were struggling with communications and fiber optic. I know it sounds, some of the stuff sounds easy, but, you know, start pulling on a thread and unravels. But it's it actually is going to be, I think, a really good thing. I think we're going to increase service levels to everybody in regards to fiber optic and capacity as well as Wi-Fi. And then that ended up rolling into another dialogue, too, with we maintained some of the functionality for all RVers and other people that are using on cable and DSL. Other types of services where those were they're talking about eliminating those services, which, you know, would put us at a little bit of a competitive disadvantage. There's an expectation that we provide that. So that's gone away. So we're moving forward with them and trying to knock out their punch list, and we're talking continually. So that's going well. The fiber optic again, that's gonna help everybody, I believe, as well as the Wi-Fi. And we just went through and did another walkthrough audit yesterday with a potential vendor, and not good. There's actually a lot of capacity that was put in a while ago, but we didn't have it memorialized, so now we're trying to figure out exactly where it is and distribute it. So we're doing a utility audit, and that's going pretty well. So we've gone over power and water, and now we basically have a plan of kind of looking at how we're going to be effectively putting in a metering system and segregating some use. And then that's going to, is part of the overall lease audit process that we're going to be even more aggressively undertaking and more systematic forward. Which, in effect, that's what the WDFW started off with, the lease audit. We started with some of the largest customers with the ACI and Coast Guard, and just go through the punch list. We're also finishing up the mortgage rate analysis, and we're also working on the boat yard rate analysis. Trying to get that to you as soon as possible, and then participate in the commission retreat, and then yeah, she talked about the repair of Boat Haven Jet American.
We heard from our friend Mr. Landry. What has happened is when you file an appeal, you have to instruct the court to send various documents and transcripts to the appellate court and pay the people that transmit those. He certainly didn't pay them, and the court sent a letter that said, well, we're not going to be sending the documents. That prompted Landry to ask for an extension on his deadlines to pay, and generally cause the appellate court to be in receipt of documents necessary for his appeal. This is the sort of thing the court will grant. They tend to hand out these extensions like candy, so they did. We didn't reply. We thought that would be a waste of time, but as Mr. Landry misses, you know, deadline after deadline, eventually the court will become patient on its own and hopefully, you know, put its foot down in a manner I don't think we could have a court to do on our own. So at this point, the deadlines for briefing are cued to Mr. Landry paying for things and having them at the appellate court at the end of February. And his opening brief we do sometime in mid-April. And it's possible it'll have some technical difficulties with that and get, you know, 2 in 3 chances to file that. And then we would be following on 30 days after is successful at being brief. So if we're taking any more actions this summer, that would be kind of a surprise at this point.
That it?
I think that's all, yeah. Okay. Are we good?
Passing around the November results. They were looking good. We're still above budget when it comes to revenues, and we're below budget when it comes to expenditures, which is a good thing. So we might end up, might end up the year that way in December too. Let's see. The other piece that's not on here, but it's mentioned in the front page, is that we're close to $500,000 in WIP costs this year expended, which, like I said, is not shown on the operating report.
Could you remind me, WIP costs is what?
A work in progress. Okay, so any of the capitalized work, like the sail off work and jetty work and jetties, those have all been going to WIP. Mm-hmm. So it's cash out, but it's not an operations report. One exception to that is the quill seam study, which is not a capitalizable project. And so that's put into the non-operating expenditures. You can see it on the last page. It's like $25,000 to date in November. And that's getting, so far we're 100% reimbursed by the county. On that, because we had that $100,000 grant account. So, in and out, basically. But yeah, most of the departments are doing well, including Moorage, which is over the 92%. We're 92% through the year, so they're at 95%. The yard is below at 87%, which everybody knows is primarily due to the small yard. And then also the property leases are down a little bit. Point Hudson is looking good at 103% of budget, and Quill Seam is at 85%. Ramps are down, but I wouldn't imagine ramps are not gonna, are going to catch up basically because of the ramp project this year. And then the airport's above budget, which isn't that a surprise.
What changed?
You know, I'm not really sure, but it looks like the hangar revenue is over budget. Vehicle parking, but that's not a significant dollar amount. Same with aircraft.
Got an airplane in the hangar, in the airport hangar, and they're all on it.
I know we had that.
A lot of real funny looking planes flying in and out of pretty quick in the morning and late at night. No, I'm just kidding. Nice helicopters.
Drug
runners out of Canada.
Back when our version of them.
Just a joke. Taking drugs out of Washington.
So, like I was saying too, the expenditures were at 88% of budget. Good. Gonna save some money. That's a good thing. And then we're ahead on non-operating revenues. Some of the revenues that the auditor was talking about, that $32,000, $25,000 from 214 to 215 for the federal grants that were just billed this year. Those are landing here in 16. So that's why we've got a little extra money, grant revenues for 16. And it was not material to the financial statements, not worth the time it takes to make those changes. But it does show up in the results of 16. So that also lends to the increase. Do you have any questions? I know I just handed this to you.
Everybody sees the work yard when you drive by it, and this kind of gives you a little bit of a, we've got our marching orders.
They are, I think, like my understanding is that the time of this book, I think, almost pretty fully every day, at least during March already. And they're already concerned, you know, just that it's this peak periods that make it problematic. And I know that the small boats, the do-it-yourselfers, I mean, I have talked to quite a number of them. They just said it was such a bad year for them, for Sam. a lot of them that where they were hoping to come in here, I mean, they're literally like, I might have to be roofing in order to pay, pay
right.
the bills.
Right.
So it was a really tough year, and with the strong dollar, it's just been tough on exports. So I do know that that's kind of been across the board, no matter whether you're a large trawler or you're a, you know, a troller or a sander or whatever. And there was a few, I mean, there are always the few people that, you know, highliners that do quite well, you know, but yeah, they didn't do like superlative well. They just did better than a lot of people. But if you're in the wrong place, where most people are in the wrong place, whether they liked it or not, it's pretty tough. I mean, the Bay, but that's gill netters, and we don't see much of that, but they did pretty well. So it was really, truly a hard, hard year for a lot of these. Certainly working on salmon. And even the quota guys, you know, they're up there fishing pretty hard on the quota. So now the new year starts, and prices look good. So we'll see. And I didn't get to see, actually, they released in December what the quota levels were at.
Anything else?
Here we go.
Sue?
On top of all my regular exciting tasks, I just wanted to tell you all some funny things that happened this week. A couple days ago, somebody called and asked if this was the airport, and I told them, you know, that we operated, and she wanted to know the Weight Watchers meeting schedule that's being held at the airport. And then the other day, I got a phone call. Some people asked me, or a woman asked me, she said there are two airplanes flying in tandem, and they were doing some loops, and she was curious what they were doing, and she wanted to know if they were practicing for an air show or if maybe this was a hobby. I just get some really strange phone calls. And it's kind of fun, though, to get a little humor in my job every once in a while. That's it.
There is a guy out at the airport, Mort Robinson, that has a cub, a little yellow cub. And his favorite tactic is to take off on a really windy day and then pull back on the throttle as far as you can over the runway, and it'll actually go backwards down the runway because the wind's, you know, moving him backwards. Several people from Woodland have called because they've seen this plane flutter and go backwards.
You're like going on the cutoff road and you see that go.
Yeah. He just does it for effect. Is that it? That's that? Commissioner comments. Steve.
Public comments.
Sorry.
Since you're negotiating the lease with ACI, I wonder if you gave it any more consideration to moving the door to the south side to the north side so that all the activity, industrial activities converted to the yard, and it would preserve the south side for recreational and cafe use. That you may not be able to do it now, but this provision in the lease that would allow that to happen, we get a lot more parking to be more designated.
I have not considered that.
It's kind of one of those flow things that you guys are working on with the map, GCI map. Okay, any other comments? George?
Yeah, I want to thank you for your retreat. I thought it was just an excellent, excellent program. I did get a chance to walk into the part where the rest of the employees were, and I saw something there that I wanted to share with you, and it just exuded for the whole that day and the next day, is that there's a real morale change here. It's almost a can-do kind of thing, and I'm delighted, just delighted to see that. And I think it's because the commission has faith in the staff, and the staff is really trying to do the best job possible for you. So kudos to you all for doing a real quality job. Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yes.
Is there any update on the stormwater or contact with the DOE?
We have a draft report into them, and we're setting up a meeting with Department of Ecology. And we don't yet have that scheduled, but we've met internally and are continuing to work the issue. So still very much in progress, but nothing really new to report at this point.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to commissioner comments. Well, we had an MRC meeting here, and I discovered that if the thermostat gets left off, you can come into the meeting and turn it up full bore, and at the end of 2.5 hours, it's still not up to 6 degrees. So we had an MRC meeting in the cold, and the thing that would affect the port is the derelict vessel committee that's trying to figure out how, not the big ones like the John Cobb, which, well, I guess that's your next question, but the little ones that blow up on the rocks, like the 11 and one that destroyed itself down there, we're working to become more proactive, and we actually have a group of people working on it and some ways forward, and so that's what it's doing.
You guys are mind readers. So, my question about the NOAA ship is, are they subject to state audit, such as we are, and would that situation that they've imposed, that they've caused as a result of their improprieties, is that a state audit finding potentially for
SMA?
For the school?
Potentially.
Well, I think we should call up the state and tell them about that.
It's a great idea.
Wow, we just had Amy here. In fact, I got her business card right here.
Yeah, let's call her up.
It'd be different, yeah, because right. They have a different team that does state agencies of higher ed.
Uh-huh.
So, but...
The legal process is underway, right?
No.
But it seems to me that maybe this is another avenue.
Even
that kind of sounds... like kind of nasty thing to do. However, they did a pretty nasty thing to us, and if it's something that the state could potentially, compel them to right their wrongs, then maybe this could save us some grief in the future.
Good idea. I'll do it.
Is there any update on that situation?
You want to buy it?
$1.
There's two parties that are interested. I mean, one is front and center that we've accepted the bid. We're working with the Oregon guy. Yeah. Actually, just, I don't know if you, I haven't even talked about this. I did poke my head in there the other day. They've had, one of the problems has been insurance, getting adequate coverage so they can actually move the boat around. I just said to Eric, you want to talk to the guy that insures our boats, and I actually put them in touch. My guy thought he was going to be able to do some pretty simple good in terms of getting some coverage for the Oregon guy to do his thing. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but certainly didn't seem like that was a big roadblock, so we'll see. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then for me, just the retreat was awesome. Sue, I want to say a special thank you for you. The food was really good. Yeah, that was excellent. And I really appreciated the staff, what you guys did. It was clear and concise, and the discussion was energetic and daunting. I was banging my head against the door there at one point, but it's fine. I'm really excited. I think it's an interesting time for the Port of Port Townsend. We're going to move a lot of balls forward quickly, and hopefully we do it correctly, and I'm sure we'll get told if we're not, so, which is good. That's why you guys are here, but it's a lot. But I don't think there's, like Brad says, we painted ourselves into this corner, so I don't think there's anywhere to go but turn around and walk out, and that's what we got to do. So that's all I've got to say. And with that, so we will move on. We will adjourn our regular meeting and move into our executive meeting. Thank you very much.
Great.